welcome to the NARPM Podcast, where we bring you the most in-depth look into the property management industry. We discuss hot topics with property managers, vendors, and those that support the property management industry. The National Association of Residential Property Managers is the recognized leader in property management. Our host is Pete Neubig, co-founder of Empire Industries Property Management and co-founder and CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARPM. Now, here's your host, Pete Neubig.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the NARPM Radio Podcast. I have Josh Hewitt here today that we're interviewing, and Josh has been in the trade service industry for over 30 years. He built a successful HVAC company. He sold his company, and now he uses knowledge to help others in the trades to build profitable businesses through his coaching and his successful podcast called The Tradesman Experience. And so Josh actually had me on his show a few months ago, and I thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to get him on our show because I want him to speak on behalf of vendors and the trades in our industry, right? So what are the how do trades perceive management companies and what's important to them and things of that nature? So I think it's going to be a really cool show with Josh here. And so we'll see him, we'll talk to him here in a second. But first, we want to do our hot topic of the day. And so I want to talk a little bit about your vendor onboarding since we have Josh here and everything. And one of the things that we did, and I thought it was pretty successful at Empire, was when we started connecting with vendors and vendors reached out to us or we reached out to them and we wanted to do business. Obviously, when we first started, we would just take any vendor who would do work for us, right? And over time, as you grow, you realize, you know, a lot of those vendors don't really have your back. And so we wanted to make it more like a partnership. How is the vendor a partner? And I think we're going to hear Josh talk a little bit about that. So what we did is we actually created a vendor agreement. And in that vendor agreement, we talked about the rules of the game. And so any vendor that wanted to do business with us, we would meet with them at the office. This is when we all have brick and mortar offices. I guess you can do it through Zoom now. And we would meet with them and we would discuss and we'd give them the vendor agreement and we would discuss, you know, kind of the rules of the game. And that vendor agreement was, I think, maybe a two pager, but it went over key points, right? Like, for example, an overpayment. When do they get paid? You know, how often do we pay? Is it a net 30? Is it a net 10? Is it weekly? You know, how do you get paid? Obviously, these guys want to get paid as quick as possible. But having them come Friday and dropping an invoice off and expecting a check, that was not something we were going to do anymore. What we ended up doing is we ended up paying them weekly. So if they got their invoice in by Tuesday end of business, we would cut them a check on Friday. Wednesday morning or above, they got paid the next week. We also talked about, you know, if they couldn't do a ticket, don't just accept maintenance requests because you think that if you deny it, we're not going to do business with you anymore. We wanted to make sure that they had capacity, that they can handle it. If it's not an area they don't service, just get it back to us. But we also talked about SLAs. How often, you know, how quickly do they get back to us? And how quickly do they, you know, go ahead and schedule? And then how quickly do they send us an invoice? So all of that is kind of in the agreement. We also talk about, you know, don't talk to our residents about the condition of the home. If you see things that don't look right, then you reach out to the maintenance team that's serviced you or to the property manager or whomever, but you don't tell the resident, man, this house is a POS, right? And so, and then we do discuss, you know, we try to get a payment. We try to get a kind of like their top 10, you know, things that we do and what the amount is. And that was really hard to get, but at least with the vendor agreement, we can go over a lot of the points of topics that we can discuss and that now if they become issues, we can go to the agreement and say, this is what we agreed upon. You know, this is what a good partner looks like for us, and this is what we look like as a good partner to you. And so if you don't have a vendor agreement, I highly suggest you go into the NARPM discussion group and ask if somebody will share theirs, because lots of people have them nowadays. And so once you have that vendor agreement, it makes escalations with vendors much easier to discuss. And so one of the things that we did, I'll give you kind of a quick tip. We had a dollar amount, let's just say it's like $500 for our reserve amount. But what we did in the vendor agreement is said they had ability to do up to, I think, like 250. So we halved it. And so if it was over 250, they had to call in. And of course, my team would be able to approve something that was up to 500. When we first started, we just showed them it was 500 and everything was $499.99 or $490. And obviously, they think they're doing you a solid because they're not going over the threshold and they get to do the work right then and there. But your owners look like they're being taken advantage of because everything's $490 or $499. And so there's definitely some challenges there. So we lowered the amount that they can get approval, and then they had to call in and get, and then we gave them verbal approval up to a certain amount. And obviously if it was over the threshold and it was an emergency, then we had to get a quote. And they had, you know, other thing that we put in there was when they give a estimate or an invoice, line item out. So our clients wanted a line item out. So we wanted to see a line item out. That's obviously your prerogative, but those are a couple of tidbits. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk to Josh, and we're going to hear about the other side of the coin, the contractor side. So we'll be right back. Tired of wasting hours stuck in traffic running between your properties? Well, do we have the solution for you? ShowDigs is more than just a full service leasing automation software. They employ over 2,000 licensed real estate agents specifically trained to show your properties on demand. Here's how it works. You list your properties through ShowDigs, and when a lead inquires to tour, ShowDigs' automation allows them to self-schedule a time that works for them. A local ShowDigs agent will accept the tour request through the ShowDigs app, and once they've shown the property, you'll receive a detailed tour report straight into your inbox. Want to learn how ShowDigs can save you time and money without compromising your conversion rates? Head over to showdigs.com/NARPM to learn more about the only leasing software that can handle all of your field work. Fill out the form, and when you sign up for ShowDigs, you'll get to activate your first 5 properties for free. Once again, showdigs.com/NARPM.
Did you know that most tenants struggle to come up with a large sum of money needed to move into their new rental home? Let Renters Insurance Solutions help you solve this problem by giving tenants another option for security deposits. Property managers can make up to $200 per door annually with our programs. Learn more at our website, yourris.com. That's yourris.com. Renters Insurance Solutions, your experts in property management and insurance.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And as promised, I got Josh Hewitt here with... I met him through Steve Rosenberg, and he runs an incredible podcast called the Tradesman Experience. And so, Josh, thanks so much for being here today.
Pete, thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
So I gave kind of a little intro before we got on, but just tell us a little bit about your journey with your HVAC company and just kind of give us kind of like a 2-minute, like, you know, this is what I did and this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, so I got into the HVAC industry in 2001, worked my way up through the ranks, started as an apprentice through the vocational school into a maintenance technician, into a service technician, into a service manager. And that evolved into me going into partners and starting a business in 2013. And I exited that business in 2018. But those 5 years as a business owner and you know what it's like going out into the market every day and trying to stand out. And what I learned, Pete, was a couple things. One was the necessity and extreme value of high level leadership. And two, I rewrote my golden rule of business to be, people don't remember what you did. They remember how you made them feel. And with our HVAC company, we embodied those two things. I embodied the leadership development and growth as an individual, but it was so ingrained and embedded into our culture that we were going to create the best experience. It's not an accident that the name of my company now is the Tradesman Experience. That's how much I believe in this concept. And through that five-year span, actually in a three-year span, we did a purchase of assets. We bought out a one-man shop, which a lot of the small businesses and the skilled trades are one-man warriors.
We call them Chuck in a truck.
Chuck in a truck. And that's exactly what we bought. We bought a little building that hadn't been cleaned out in 50 years. It had a little van that had almost 300,000 miles on it. We bought this business that was doing about 300,000 a year in revenue. And in 3 years, we were doing almost 2.5 million.
Nice.
And we did that. And I don't want to take away from the fact that it was just revenue growth. We did that. And the backbone of our growth was culture and leadership.
So I think it's amazing that you literally started as, we'll call it a grunt, right? So you worked in, it's kind of like so some of our property managers that are listening, you know, you started off as a property manager, maybe worked for another company, and you did all the, we call them all the hats, or all the hats in the industry. And then eventually you end up buying the property manager company that you work for, or you start your own. And our 2024 president right now of NARPM is Melissa Sharon. And Melissa literally did that. She did what you did, and she bought the company she was working for. So she spun off a little bit different. Yeah. You started, you know, you worked and you bought a company. She did that. So this is a spirit that's inside of NARPM. So the reason why I wanted to get you on, though, Josh, is I want to talk a little bit about, like, from a property management perspective, and talk to you about like the trades perspective. And so with property managers, property management firms, we're only as good as our vendors, right? So if we have a bad contract or a bad vendor, and then that looks bad upon, you know, our owner or our resident client, then all of a sudden the negative review goes to us, the lawsuit goes to us, it becomes really, really difficult. And so it's important that we have a good Rolodex of contractors. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, you are on the other side. If I'm looking for a contractor, what is it like? Are there tells? Can I tell if there's going to be a good contractor versus a bad contractor to work with? Is there anything that would tell me like, this is a kind of a red flag?
Yeah. One, for me, one of the things I look at is visual representation. If you've got the chuck in a truck, and I always joked about this specific guy because I was sitting at a stoplight one day next to this individual. Don't know the guy, don't know the name of the company, but this guy's got a beat up van with what I took to be some kind of motorcycle gang chopper emblem as part of his company logo. And he's in a sawed off t-shirt, no sleeves, you know, full handlebar mustache and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, sitting at the stoplight. Well, to me, that is a complete picture of what you represent. And if I'm looking to do business with someone, I want to know what they look like. I think that's going to give me a fair representation of how they're willing to behave, because people will often rise to the standard, but they always fall to their habit. And so if we have an interview and you kill it, okay, well, you rose to the standard. But I can look at, again, how you represent yourself, how you present your brand, how you are in public, how your team is in public, because your team is a direct representation of you. And I'm going to start looking for some of those telltale signs of professionalism as a first indicator for me to see if I want to have a conversation or not.
You know, you hit on something. You said during the interview, and I bet you there's people listening here that have never interviewed their contractor. The contractor either called them or they needed somebody. They made the phone call. They were desperate, and they just said, "Yep, I need you to go out there, and now, you know, you become my contractor." So I think the first thing that I would tell people is find contractors when you don't need them. Right? Like,
definitely.
The worst time to find an HVAC guy is probably July in Houston when you have 10 ACs going out and you need an AC guy.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, right, interviewing them is intelligent. Now, I will tell you this. When I first started my business, when I saw the Chuck in the truck, the guy with the handlebar mustaches and the cigarette, you know what that told me? Honestly, and I hate to say this, but it told me he's going to be cheap.
Yeah.
His pricing is going to be affordable, right? And if I see somebody who's polished with the nice Ford 350 and they got the logo shirt and they're all polished and maybe they even have manicured hands, I'm already thinking that guy, I can't afford that guy. So let's talk about cheaper is not always cheaper. Can you talk? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm? What,
I do.
Have you heard? You've heard that term, I'm sure. So tell me what you know as from a contractor perspective. Mm-hmm. What happens and why is it cheaper? Not always cheaper.
Well, there's a couple things real quick. One is cheap labor isn't skilled. Skilled labor isn't cheap.
I love that. Say that one again.
Cheap labor isn't skilled, and skilled labor isn't cheap.
Nice.
So from a contractor perspective, if I'm looking at equipping my company with qualified professionals, I'm not buying cheap labor. I'm acquiring skilled people. And then from a sales perspective, it's always, do you want it done right or do you want it done cheap? And, you know, so there's that always that kind of dichotomy. And you use the word affordable. And I like that you use the word affordable because one of the things that I really try to be an advocate for is companies being in a position where they can afford to take risk. A lot of companies, especially chucking a truck or small organizations, don't play the volumes game because they just can't. They don't have the capacity for it. So it is the money's game if you're going to be profitable. When I start having a conversation with property managers, and by the way, I worked with a couple that had hundreds and hundreds of doors in a college town. It was about an interview. It was about initial conversation. So we had the chance to set clear expectations. And that expectation also came down to money. And Pete, I may be jumping ahead, but you know, that gave me an opportunity for both of us to negotiate an agreement that involved pricing, that maybe they were going to get a little bit of what would be considered a discount because of the volume.
Well, I'll stop you right there because I've worked with tons of companies when I own my property management firm, and I could never get a pricing manual. I can't get one. So I know HVAC is probably a little bit easier to do than some like a general contractor, and I get that. But man, it would be nice to just have, you know, here are the top 40 things, 20 things, and this is kind of the pricing, and then here's your discounted price because you're going to give me volume. Why can't contractors create those? Is there a reason for that, or is it just that they're...
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Because the mistake that a lot of contractors make is they try to sell labor. Okay. And anybody that's listening, if in a service industry, okay, and even the property managers that are listening, this is another indicator that I would look at. Find contractors that price on flat rate, not hourly. Because that is such a better negotiating tool for both parties. So I say that to bring it back to answer your question is most of these contractors, their hourly rate probably isn't high enough anyway. So they don't have the internal value to negotiate price at all. And secondly, and sadly, most of them don't know if their price is right. So how can they negotiate a dollar figure if they don't know if it's where it should be? So property managers get stuck in this situation because most of us blue collar don't understand business and we don't understand operating expenses and we don't understand numbers. And because of that, we hide behind this fear of talking money.
Interesting. So basically they go back to what they know and they just know hourly rate. And then they just put an hourly rate out there instead of saying, okay, well, if it's these issues, then it's the fixed rate of X. Now I know when we do, you know, honeydews, right? Resident calls got four or five different things. I need a weather strip here. I need this here. It's almost impossible to say, well, this is $14 and this is $28. Mm-hmm. And so I get it that you're going to have some type of hourly rate or a trip rate, right? Which does the first hour and a half. I get that. But man, it would be nice to say, you know, these are the top 10X things that I see. And then here's the pricing, right? And then if your owner called me directly, he would get higher pricing, right? Because I want to be able to get lower pricing for the volume that I'm going to send you. And you said something else as well about the skilled labor. And, you know, I always said, we're always looking for three things. We're looking for cheap, fast, and good, right? And if you can get two out of three, man, you're doing a great job, right? Cheap, fast, and good. So if I get cheap and fast, yeah, I'm probably not going to be good. If I get cheap and good, it's not going to be fast, right? And I have seen personally, and tell me if you've seen this on your side. I had a plumber, Endurance Plumbing, and the guy was an incredible guy. He was the nicest guy. And somehow I found him, and he was doing good work for us. And so I'm like, hey, man, do you want to grow your business? And of course, everybody says, yes, I want to grow the business, right? And I introduced him to the Houston chapter of the National Association of Residential Property Managers. And all these guys started using him because he was cheap, fast, and good. Well, what happened was he wasn't really good at invoicing, so he was real cheap, right? But then he would send invoices like in December for stuff that he did in January, stuff that we don't even manage anymore. But long story short, he grew to the point where he outgrew his business and he actually lost the business. So this kind of goes back to a lot of these guys are not business owners, right? And this also goes back to, you know, you find somebody and if they're not running their business like a business, then they're not going to be great partners over the long haul. Because either they're gonna shoot their pricing up because they, you know, or they're gonna go not do a job for you because they could go make another more money at a different job, right? And so they're not good partners. So we're looking for people that are not the cheapest out there. We're looking for people that are not the most expensive, right? I'm not gonna call, you know, Roto-Rooter, right? But I'm not gonna call Chuck in a truck. I need to call somebody kind of in the middle. Do you find that most contractors try to work in the middle, or like how do you see most of your clients, how do they do their pricing and how do they try to, you know, are they trying to be the Cadillac, they're trying to be the Yugo, they're trying to be something between the Buick, what are they trying to become?
And myself included, the middle of the road and a little bit better. And the way I explain that is, what is standard market value for what you do? Find a good place that you're comfortable, and then we're going to charge a little bit more. Because it goes back to the experience. Even, you know, us working with property managers, and you said partnership, and I'm glad you said it because you beat me to it. You said partnership. When we have those initial interviews, those initial conversations, I'm going to approach it, have that conversation with that property manager as if we were partners, not as if I'm your subcontractor, not as if I'm your vendor. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of the skilled trades make, is they go in assuming that they're going to be treated like a subcontractor, or they go in acting like a subcontractor, which results in them being treated like one. We're going to have a conversation as if we're partners because we need each other. We're going to identify what those expectations are, and price is going to be one of them. If, you know, working with a property manager, chances are you're not going to be able to go, in my case, fix an air conditioner, fill out an invoice and collect immediately. But what are our net term agreement? What is it? Is it 15 days? Is it 30 days? We need to be able to negotiate that. We need to be able to have that conversation up front. So me as a contractor, I don't continue to get frustrated with you about things that I have not been willing to discuss because I'm thinking like a repairman. I'm not thinking like a business owner.
That's a great, I love that. I'm thinking like a repairman instead of a business owner. It's a huge different mentality. So if I see somebody and they're not willing to talk about the rules of the game or just setting up real poor expectations, those are red flags on if that's somebody I want to do business with or not, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I had my management firm, I created a vendor agreement document and we went over the rules of the game. Because it's not just about pricing, right? It's about me paying you on time as well. But it's also, how do you treat my residents, right? Are you going to use my software or not? How are you going to send in your invoices? Like, don't come to my office and drop them off. I want them through electronic, right? And so if these guys can't use electronic ways to communicate with you, right? I want to send all my maintenance requests, you know, electronically. So those are other, you know, if they're willing. And so by having a vendor agreement, one is, it kind of goes to your point. It kind of forces you to have these conversations, right? Number one. Mm-hmm. And it sets the expectations. I call it the rules of the game. It sets the rules of the game up. Mm-hmm. And if I have a vendor who is unwilling to sign the agreement, then we just don't do business with them. Mm-hmm. Do you see, what would be some red flags on the for the vendor side of things to the property manager? Like why would a vendor not want to work with a property manager? I think of two off the top of my head, but I want to see what you come up with.
Yeah, so I experienced this as well, being a contractor, and we ended up doing some work for some guy. One, I think you just got to trust your intuition. And everybody has a different level or a different meter for intuition, but I think one is listen to your gut. And I had a bad gut feeling about this guy. My partner was looking at what he was offering, which is going to be my second piece of this. And we ended up taking it on the chin. And it took us months and months and months and months to get paid. It was a battle. It got as ugly, not as ugly as it could. And we ended up leaving that relationship with a sour taste.
And probably probably lost money on it.
We did, just because of the time we had to spend trying to get our money.
That's right.
And, you know, just the headache of it. But another is, what is the, you know, if I'm talking to a property manager, does the property manager keep throwing me stuff that is going to happen or might happen, or could, are they dangling the carrot? Yep. Or are we having a real-time, end-time conversation? I think for me, that's a big, oh man, I got 500 properties and I'm looking at buying a couple hundred, and all my, you know, my buddy Pete, he's got, you know, he's 300 or 400 properties. I can introduce you to him. Like, that's a red flag to me. I'm interested in what are we talking about now? What problem are we trying to solve right now? We decide that we can work together, then we can have that conversation. So that, to me, that's a thing that I've experienced in the past. I don't like a carrot being
dangled. You hit on a two points. I'll just go a little bit deeper on one of them. Payment. When do they get paid? Net 30 to me is even too long. And I know some property managers are like probably groaning right now, but at Empire, we actually had it. If you put your invoice in before Tuesday at 4 o'clock, you got paid on Friday. Now talk about getting paid quickly, mm-hmm. right? And if it came in Wednesday, you got paid the next Friday, right? So we started paying weekly. And if you're running a property manager firm and you cannot pay weekly, most likely you're in chaos mode, or you're not holding back money from the owner. You don't have enough reserve and all that stuff. And so we would actually front money. If the property was leased up and the resident was a good paying resident, then Empire would front the money and we would get the money back when the resident paid the rent. So most property managers want net 30 because they want that rent to come in before they can pay, mm-hmm. especially if it's over the threshold. So we hold back some money from the owner. The owner has a reserve, and typically if it's underneath that reserve, you get paid rather quickly. But we paid weekly. So that's the first one, right? So now think about this. If my HVAC guy was getting paid every week and he put stuff in on Tuesday and he got paid on Friday, and all of a sudden there's a huge heat wave in Houston and three property managers call him, I'm one of them. Where's he going first?
Where he gets
the other
paid.
Guys, the other guy's paying him net 30, right? Yeah. I'm paying him net, you know, call it 8, 7, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's the first thing. So if you're listening to this, you know, guys don't want to front your money for you, just like you don't want to front our owner's money. So you got to get paid. The second thing you touched on, I wrote here quotes, right? Like, you don't want to be jerked around going out and putting out all these quotes and never getting the business. Mm-hmm. It's a complete waste of time, right? How many yep. are you going to do, Josh, before you decide not to take that phone call anymore? Three?
For me, three would be pushing it.
Right? Two, three, you know, this guy.
Two, like, we'll do one and I'm going to give you a second. And like I said, three for me, like, that's a stretch.
Yeah. So again, you know, just like we have a lot of windshield time. Could you imagine the windshield time for the trades guys? Like going out there. How many times do you have to go out to a property just to, like, sometimes you have to go to a property to assess it. Then you have to go to Home Depot to buy some stuff. Then you have to go back out to the property, then back out to Home Depot. Right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you know, logistics is a big deal as well. And this as you're talking about it, one of the things that frustrated me, not as a business owner, but as a service technician, when the property management would call us on a Friday afternoon at 3 or 4 o'clock, and they would start the conversation like this.
It's an emergency.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, man, we've got this going on. We need you out here. And then you start talking to them a little bit and they say, well, it started acting up on Tuesday, but the tenant said that it seemed to be okay and we weren't sure. And now you got a Friday night call. And I know there's a whole lot of variables that come into play with that, including the tenant. But from a service tech perspective, it's just like, look, if there's a problem, call us. That's what we're there for. Don't stack them up to the weekend, because we're like everybody else. You know, we like to go home at the end of a Friday, you know, and enjoy our family. So that was something that it was so consistent. It was comical, but.
Well, we laugh too in the property management industry. We laugh. We're like, all right, it's Friday, 4 o'clock. Let's see who calls in with the AC or heat issue. It was comical because that happened to us all the time.
Yeah.
Now, one of the challenges that we have as a property management company is, you know, we have a reserve amount and we have approval up to that amount. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, for example, let's call it $500. Okay. Now, I made the mistake early on of telling my vendors that they have an approval up to $500. Guess what every invoice came back at?
$499.
100%. $499. Yep. And then they would tell me, well, it's really more than 500, but I just wanted to get the job done. How would you, like, now obviously the vendor didn't do anything wrong, the contract did anything wrong, but it doesn't look right. It just doesn't look right when everything's $499. So if you were in our shoes, how would you combat that?
If I were the property manager, I think that there needs to be multiple meetings a year. You know, we talked about the interview. First of all, I think that depending on growth or the calendar, that there needs to be at least one of those interviews a year. You know, if it's consistency, great. What's 2024 look like? We need to have that conversation. I need to know, not all the details, but if you're looking at acquiring another 100 doors, 200 doors, is that something that I can handle as a company, or am I going to end up, you know, disappointing you? The growth side of that is if our relationship's working well and we're growing, then okay, let's revisit our agreement and go from there. But, you know, I kind of look at those as big picture conversations. Operationally, you need to be having some conversations with your vendors a few times a year, you know, quarterly, if you can handle it, and to be able to address those situations. If it's an emergency or it's urgent, you need to address it on hand. But if you see a pattern, you need to have a conversation. And the reason I started that response, Pete, with the agreement, because if that happens to me and I'm working with someone, the first thing I'm going to do is say, Pete, there's some things that I'm seeing that I feel don't align with the agreement that you and I have made. So we need to sit down and revisit our agreement and see if there are things that we need to change, things that we need to approve, and decide how you and I want to work forward moving together.
I like that. I like the fact that you have multiple conversations. I never actually thought of that. We would have a vendor appreciation once a year. And we'd have everybody come over. It'd be usually around Thanksgiving, not Christmas. Like, you know, we'd have, you know, a big meal and we would, you know, free food, free booze brings a lot of people to your office.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we'd have those conversations, but I never, you know, and we'd have some conversation, but I like kind of like a reset, like review the vendor agreement yearly. Right. So now whenever your vendor signs that vendor agreement, now you're not doing them all at one time, right? So throughout the year, you might be having different conversations with different vendors, and that could be a reset. Quarterly might be a little much, but I think that's a great idea. Right. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, when you guys are putting in $499, you know, you think you're doing us a solid, but what actually happens is our owner clients reach out and say, well, that's kind of interesting that these are all $499 and the threshold's $500. And they think we're being taken advantage of. And so it's really paramount that they write down like all the stuff that they do. So I'm kind of diving into a left turn here. Why do a lot of vendors, contractors, only put like a number on a piece of paper and send it to you as an invoice versus like a breaking it all down and say, here's the invoice.
Mm-hmm. Because we love tools and hate paperwork. I mean, that's the simple truth of it, Pete, right. Is there's not a single one of us that are born blue collar or work in the skilled trades because we like administrative work. It's like sandpaper on the skin for us, no matter what we do. The real problem lies in the fact that these business owners, again, it's not even that they don't understand what it takes to own a business. They don't investigate what's necessary to be a successful business owner. And they don't investigate systematic ways to improve their efficiency, to increase transfer of information, to maximize communication. So they just think that, okay, well, all they're looking for is a number anyway. And it drives me nuts when I hear contractors say that, they're just looking for a number. No, they're looking to have their problem solved. And they want you to communicate as to how you're going to solve that problem and then what that investment's going to take.
Right.
But again, we're talking about, you know, blue collar. They know what they can do. But in my entire training, vocational school, everything, no one ever taught me how to communicate with a client as to why something costs what it costs. The simple transaction, and a transaction is not an experience. A transaction is, this is what you said you wanted. This is how much it cost. Do you want me to do it? Yes or no? And so a lot of these businesses treat their clients, property management companies being their client, they treat everybody
same
as a transaction, and they treat everybody the same. So to really, really, to bring that all the way back, Pete, it's because most of these business owners aren't business owners.
Yeah. Now, and during your initial interview with the contractor, it might be good to see, give me an example of a couple of quotes give me an example of a couple of, you know, invoices that you sent out, right? To talk, you know, and I go back to the whole cheaper isn't cheaper thing, and cheaper can be more expensive. You know, for the companies that embrace the technology, the companies that break down the quote, they can fire off the quote as soon as they leave the house. They can fire off the invoice as soon as they complete the job, that they're willing to take before and after photos. Like as property managers, we need that stuff because that becomes our proof to our clients that, you know, the work has been done and this is, you know, and all this good stuff. And then I need people to use our software because we communicate back and forth and that keeps all that data. I got to hold information for 4 years. You go do a job at a property, especially an HVAC guy, that person has 4 years to sue me, right? Yep. And so we got to keep all that stuff. So there's certain things. So if you're listening to this as a property manager and you're dealing with Chuck in a truck and he doesn't have the software, unwilling to do it, doesn't do line item quotes, doesn't get you your invoices in a timely fashion. When he does get them to, he wants to get paid the next day, even though the invoice he should have put out there, you know, 30 days ago, but now he's got an alimony bill that he's got to pay and he needs his invoices paid, right? These are all things that, and I know this is what you coach and you're training these guys to kind of be that middle or above, right? Which is a sweet spot. And I think it's a sweet spot for property managers. Like, yeah, do I always need one cheap guy? Because I have these cheap owners that, like, whatever, they don't care. They just want the job done at the cheapest and use the cheapest stuff. Yeah, we probably need one guy on the Rolodex for that, you know. But we need guys that will operate within our, you know, within our rules of the game, so to speak. And we're willing to, we are willing to pay more. Or if you're listening to this, you should be willing to pay more for that, for sure.
Yep. Well, to tell you the truth, Pete, I want you to have somebody like that in your Rolodex. I want you to have the cheap guy because they're going to do the jobs that I don't want.
Got it.
And I'm okay with that. If you got time, I'll tell you a quick story that I find to be comical is when we took over the HVAC building, which was a small building, we wanted it repainted. So this Chuck and a truck come up and wanted to paint the building And it was so ridiculous. It was embarrassing. He's like, I'll paint the whole building for $600 and you buy the paint, which was a ridiculously low price. I mean, it should have been 10 times that.
Wow.
So, okay, great. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business. And did a phenomenal job. I mean, the building was painted perfectly. I'm in the office one day. He comes in. He says, hey, man, he says, do you want me to paint that overhang in the back? So in the back, in our next to our loading door was a big overhang. And he said, hey, I can paint that for you. I said, all right, what are you thinking? And he goes, I can do it for $60. And I was just like, I think you got the job, you know? And I walked away, and the guy he barely owns a job. He works for, he just works for money, works for cash. But my point to that is nobody else wanted to do that job.
Right. Let me ask you this. Was that guy around long-term or did
Oh yeah. He was one of those old guys in a pickup truck that's lived in the town forever and was just known for doing handyman stuff.
And he didn't know his value. Didn't know his worth. And because he never hired you as a coach, well, you weren't coach at the time, but if he would have hired a coach, he would have been able to at least double or triple his prices.
Absolutely.
But he's not the guy that's going to give you the line item bid. He's not the guy that's going to take before and after photos. He's not the guy that's insured, right? So let's talk about that, right? Are most of these contractors, I know the truck and the truck guys, but are not, but most people, are they insured? Do they have the right insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Okay, back to, you know, us having a, you know, working as a partner. If you and I have a conversation, either with the first proposal or just as an initial email after our conversation, you know, I'm going to send you an email. And that attachment is going to have our state licensing, our city licensing. It's going to have an updated copy of our general liability, our certificate of insurance. It's going to have any state certifications, requirements. I'm going to send you that in a digital package and go, hey, here's all the things that I know you're going to need if we decide to do business together. And that's something I teach my clients to do. I said, look, you want to get ahead of this? You want to jump it in the front of the line? This is something that you can do.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story. I had these roofers. Luckily, I did not hire Chuck in the truck, and I hired the guy a little bit, you know, like you said, like a little bit above the middle. They were putting in a new roof, and evidently one of their nails in the ceiling, you know, in the attic, hit a water line. We don't catch it for hours. The whole apartment is flooded out. Now I have to call, you know, the water remediation guys, and all of that was on his insurance because he was insured. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't insured, guess who would have to deal with that? It'd be me and potentially my insurance, or if my insurance didn't cover it because I don't have the right insurance, now I have to do all that stuff out of pocket. So the importance of getting guys who are going to be insured is paramount. Mm-hmm. It really is, especially if they're going to go into occupied properties, right? You want somebody who's insured. You want a company who. Like, I'm not going to run background checks on the contractor company, but I'm assuming they're running background checks on the people that they put out to the houses. All right, the last thing you want is somebody attacking one of your, you know, residents. Who's that come back to? If it's a Chuck in a truck and he's not insured, guess who has to deal with all that stuff?
You know, several things that we've talked about and discussed, Pete, like the 499 invoices. The background check, how the technician treats the tenant, all of these things. When I look at all of those aspects of our business relationship, you know, if I were the subcontractor or the, you know, the vendor, to me, every bit of that is a reflection of the leadership of the business, of the contractor, of the HVAC company. If you've got a technician that's charging, just throwing $499 on an invoice consistently, leadership's aware of that. And if leadership's approving it, that's a problem, right? If you're sending someone into someone's home, regardless if it's an apartment building or whatever, but into their home, that is a potential threat, that's a leadership problem. You don't know how to run a business, you don't know how to hire, and you don't know how to lead. So a lot of these problems that you're talking about, when I look at it through my lens, that's an internal issue. That's a leadership problem with that company.
That makes complete sense. I can talk to you all day, buddy. I got like 10 other things I'd love to get to. Maybe we'll get you on a show another time, but we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to hit you with the lightning round. All right, get ready for the lightning round. We'll be right back after this, after these messages, guys.
Have you ever considered hiring a property management virtual assistant but didn't know where to start? Or have you tried hiring a virtual assistant but you weren't satisfied with the number of qualified applicants? If so, VPM Solutions is here to help. VPM is the world's first virtual talent marketplace dedicated specifically to property management and real estate. We have thousands of talented virtual assistants ready to work for you, including assistants for accounting, leasing, maintenance coordination, rent collections, and much more. With VPM, you can post jobs, screen candidates, hire, and pay your virtual assistants, all from within our state-of-the-art platform. VPM is the easy button for hiring and managing your virtual team. And the best part? VPM Solutions is 100% free to employers. That's right, free. No placement fees, no employer markups, and no hidden charges. With VPM, property managers get the talent they need while reducing costs and improving customer service. Visit vpmsolutions.com and create your free account today.
Create the best move-in experience for your resident or homeowner. Citizen Home Solutions is a utility concierge service designed to assist with services needing activation prior to moving into a new home. Our experienced team will help eliminate the stress of setting up services. No more calling a long list of service providers to get everything connected and ready for move-in day. Your client will value the white glove service provided on your behalf. True, Citizen Home Solutions assist with utilities, but more importantly, we create an experience that your client will appreciate and love. Our service is free and offers you a revenue share program. Want to know more? Visit pmcpartner.com.
PestShare, a pest control amenity for your resident benefits program, starting at just $5 per door. You can give your residents the pest control coverage they need. PestShare will even pay for the expensive infestations like bed bugs and cockroaches. End the debate over who pays for pest control, while PestShare turns an expense into added revenue. For more information, check out their website at pestshare.com/property managers.
All right, welcome back. We got Josh Hewitt here from the Tradesman Experience. And Josh, let's talk about this lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What is one of the stupidest things you did when you first started your business?
Thought I could do it alone.
I like that. All right. Do you use virtual assistants?
I don't.
Okay. And we talked a lot about that when I was on your podcast, and we're going to get some trades guys to start using virtual assistants so that they can upload the pictures and then do the invoices so your guys don't have to work at nights, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. What is one piece of advice you would give someone just starting out in business?
Have a clear plan and understand what you need to develop in yourself to execute that plan.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Thank you. You're a good buddy of mine. We just become best friends, by the way. Right. What was your first job?
Sweeping floors in a mechanic shop at 13.
And you wonder why you became a trades guy, huh? What's your ideal vacation?
Beach, swim up bar, drinks with my girl.
I love it. What is a book that you're currently reading or one that has impacted your business or life?
My life, I will tell you, in 2023, I read Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. And that was it. As soon as I finished it, I started reading it again.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to put that on my list. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
All right. All right, man. Well, you're off the lightning round. Thank you so much. So if somebody's listening and they want to listen to your podcast, where do they go?
It's on iTunes, Spotify, all the listening platforms. It is the Tradesman Experience. And ultimately, you know, my mission, Pete, is to elevate the skilled trades through leadership. So everything that we talk about on the podcast is relevant to small business, to leadership. We do a lot of interviews. Yourself, you know, was kind enough to come on my podcast and share your experience and wisdom. And we just try to educate people in the skilled trades of how to become better leaders, better business owners, and better people.
Yeah. And so if somebody was, by the way, if you don't get enough of me from the Narpin podcast, go to Josh's podcast and get some more of me. So if somebody wanted to contact you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The Tradesman Experience at gmail.com.
The Tradesman Experience at gmail.com. And, you know, listen, if you're listening to this and you want to learn more about the trades, or maybe you want to reach out to Josh and maybe he's got some trades folks, maybe you need trades folks in your area of town, and maybe he knows somebody, be a great way to be able to build your contractor database. If you are, go ahead.
I was going to say, for the property managers listening, you know, if you want to have a conversation to help structure how to navigate these interviews with these companies, I would love that.
Oh, that's great.
What questions to ask? What does that look like? So yeah, I think there's an opportunity there, you know, for us to add some value.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Josh. So if you are not a NARPA member, what the heck are you doing listening to this podcast, not being a member? Call the good folks over there at 800-782-3452 or go to NARPM.org. And if you are thinking about using virtual team members, or you have virtual team members and having a hard time figuring out how to pay them, and it's a pain in the butt, give us a call at VPM Solutions. Email me directly, Pete@VPMSolutions.com, or just go to VPMSolutions.com. That's Virtual Property Management Solutions, VPMSolutions.com. Josh, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you, man. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Pete.
This has been a production of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, the recognized leader in property management, along with your host, Pete Neubig, CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARPM. If you have a hot topic you'd like discussed on the podcast, please email us at radio@narpm.org.